Good to see each of you here this evening. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. We want you to know you're our honored guest, and we will want you to come back at every opportunity that you have to be with us. Tonight's lesson, we will talk about choose one or the other. We'll talk about six things. So out of those six things, choose one or the other. Tonight, a lot of the scripture references will be from the New King James Version. And tonight, there will be some repetitions from this morning on verses. So let's look at it tonight and see what we want to choose. In Joshua 24, 1 through 18, what do we learn? We learn that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel. He called for their heads, their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. You know, this morning we said that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of God one day, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We will present ourselves before God. We see at this time what God has done for Israel up to this point, where they are with Joshua. Now, they were told to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And that's exactly what you and I should do. Serve him in sincerity and truth. In Joshua 24:15, as Joshua spoke to Israel, he says, choose, make a choice. He said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In verse 18, children of Israel said also, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. There are no other gods, only one, the God of heaven. So this evening, we want to discuss two guides in life, two authorities, and two doctrines that are held. So you choose one or the other. Two guides in life. The first guide we'll look at this evening is faith in God. You want to be guided in this life? Have faith in God. Go to God often in prayer. Ask for wisdom. Ask for guidance. He will help. We find from Hebrews 11:6, a verse that we quoted this morning, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We'll note that without faith, it is not possible for anyone to walk with God or please him. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 38. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 tells us, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Stay with God. Stay with your guide. Do not draw back. Genuine faith does not simply believe that a divine being exists, but that God of Scripture is the only real and true God who exists. Not believing that God exists is equivalent to calling him a liar. We find this in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 10. John says, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 7. "We walk by faith and not by sight." The Christian can hope for a heaven he has not seen. Can't you? Anyone in here seen heaven? No. He does this by believing what the Scripture says about it and by living by that belief. We know that Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The second guide in life is man's opinion. Everybody has one, don't they? An opinion. We find from Proverbs 14, verse 12, and Proverbs 16:25, which we quoted this morning, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." God or man? You choose. Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Would you rather deal with the fool who is right in his own eyes, or someone who heeds counsel? That would be the choice to make. We find in Romans chapter 6, verse number 21. Paul said, "What fruit or benefit do you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." In Romans 6, verse number 17, it says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." What benefit is it to you to stay in sin? What benefit to not obey the gospel and stay where you are? It's no benefit at all. We find in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, it says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You probably know some people who talk about how they love the Lord, how they have Jesus in their heart, how they are saved by that way. Folks, we all know that's vain doctrine. That is not true. That is false. They honor him with the lips, but their heart is far from me. If their heart was with Christ, then they would do the right thing, correct? Correct. But that being said, they worship me in vain, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. Two authorities: the Bible only. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, Paul again speaks and says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Of course, you and I know there's not another gospel. There is only one. There is not another authority. There is only one. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. We find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Moses commands obedience here. Speaking to Israel, he says, Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. The word that God gave to Israel through Moses was complete and sufficient to direct his people. The New Testament today that we have is complete and sufficient to direct us today. His word today is still the same. It has not changed. In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, it's a warning here. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, anyone adds to these things, God will add him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. We cannot add to, or we cannot take away from God's word. A lot of folks this very day claiming to preach the gospel are doing just that, adding to and taking away to please themselves. The second authority, creeds of men. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. A lot of folks today are not heeding sound doctrine. False doctrine. Fables, ideologies, viewpoints, philosophies, and in various forms that oppose sound doctrine. That's what they are preaching today. That's what people are listening to in the denominational world. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4. No other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. You see, we're supposed to preach so it would cause godly edification, that it would teach, that we would learn, that we would know the truth. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 7. Here it tells us to reject but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. Toward godliness. Titus chapter 1, verse number 14. It says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Commandments of men turn from the truth. In 2 Peter 1, verse number 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, eyewitnesses of his miracles, his resurrection, his ascension. Folks, you cannot get a better testimony than that, can you? Eyewitnesses. They've seen it happen. They've seen it happen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Here again. Don't try to go beyond what is written in the Word. We have already said we cannot add to it or take away from it. Two authorities. Bible only. Creeds of men. You choose. Two places to die. We're not talking about the hospital. We're not talking about your home. We're not talking about when you're on vacation somewhere or you just drop dead when you're walking downtown. But there are two places to die. One of those places, saved in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You see, the others who have no hope are not Christians. Those who have not obeyed the gospel, those who have walked away from Christ, have no hope. Unless they obey, unless they come back. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. The primary purpose of this verse is to provide encouragement to those Christians whose loved ones have gone on, have passed on. The comfort here is based on the following. The dead will be resurrected and will participate in the Lord's coming for his own. When Christ comes, the living will be reunited forever with their loved ones, and they will all be with the Lord eternally. in Revelation 14, verse number 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Right blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. Before I get to this next one, I'm pretty sure everybody in the audience tonight would want to die in Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse number 9 says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. You see, there's two places to die. His promise is, one of them, that if you don't obey, you'll be lost. But, on the other hand, he doesn't want you to be lost. He wants you to repent, and he wants you to come to him. He's long-suffering. He's waiting. Waiting. Second place to die. Lost in sin. In John chapter 8, verse number 21. Then Jesus said to them again, he's talking to his disciples, I am going away and you will seek me. And will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Well, why did Jesus come? Luke 19, verse number 10 says, He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, there again, He does not want anyone to die in their sins. He wants all to live with Him in heaven. We find in John 8, verse 24, Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins if you believe not that I am He. You will die in your sins. Again, we find in Luke 13:3, Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30, Jesus here revealed the consequences of rejection of him as Messiah and the Son of God. Spiritual death, verse 24. These verses reveal four ways that ensure someone will die in their sins and as a result experience spiritual death. Being self-righteous, verses 20 through 22. Being earthbound, verse 23 and 24. Being unbelieving, verse number 24. Being willfully ignorant, verses 25 through 29. Die in Christ or lost in sin. We have three categories tonight. You have three choices to make. Make the right choice. Make the right choice tonight. You must choose one. Two guides in life, faith in God or man's opinion. Which do you want? A lot of people follow man's opinion. Two authorities, the Bible or the creed of man. Again, a lot of people follow the creed of man. Two places to die, saved in Christ or lost in sin. You choose. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We've got to follow Jesus. We cannot follow man. Man will lead us the wrong way. In John 15, verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Did Christ lay down his life? He did. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God wants everyone to have everlasting life. But you got to do it his way. It has to be his way. Matthew 16, verse number 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. We will all be rewarded according to our works. Are you working? Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. Is God your strength tonight? Are you trusting in God to guide you, to lead you? He has perfect justice. He has boundless power. He has infinite wisdom. And his love is matchless. He loves us so much. We can't even begin to imagine how much he loves us. In James chapter 1, verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variable, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from God. Tonight, what are you going to choose? Do you want to die in sin? Hope not. Do you want the Bible as your guide? Not man. Hope so. Tonight, you have to make a choice. The choices have been given to you. You have faith in God or you wouldn't be here. You have faith that there is a God or you wouldn't be here. So if you're here tonight and you're not a child of his, why not make the choice tonight to become his child? As together we stand and sing.